Development experts say large regional markets could boost Africa's food production and improve efficiency by providing economies of scale. But a number of trade barriers and restrictions are holding that dream in check. They keep the cost of food high for consumers and the price of yield-boosting fertilizers and seeds beyond the reach of small farmers. Paul Brenton is a lead economist for Africa at the World Bank and a principal author of the report Africa Can Help Feed Africa, Removing Regional Barriers to Trade in Food Staples.
At the moment, most countries in Africa have their own national policies towards seeds, and they want to make sure that they test new seeds very carefully in their local conditions before they will allow them to be released. Despite the fact that another country may, with very similar agro conditions, have already implemented those tests. So what you get is a very segmented market for seeds, and farmers end up paying much, much more for seeds, and they have to wait much, much longer than farmers elsewhere in the world before they get access to new, higher-yielding seeds.
The situation is similar for fertilizers, which cost more in sub-Saharan Africa than anywhere in the world. One problem, Brenton says, is that suppliers often make blends according to the specifics of small areas of their countries. Those blends would be less expensive if there were economies of scale, including other countries with similar conditions where the same fertilizer could be sold. The World Bank report offers possible solutions to improving cross-border trade and removing barriers. Some countries are working to harmonize regional standards on inputs and foods, so both can be widely traded, often at a lower cost. Brenton says standards should include the needs of all farmers, large and small. He notes that they may be different for small farmers interested in selling locally or regionally, and farmers who want to export to the United States and Europe. Brenton says there's also an alternative to harmonization.
You recognize that two countries, they're trying to achieve the same objective, but they might be doing it in slightly different way with slightly different standards. But the standards themselves are, their regulatory regimes are achieving the same objective, so that therefore you recognize that the standards approaches are equivalent. And therefore, again, if the food satisfies one country's standards, then it doesn't need to be retested again when it goes into the other country.
Some regional bodies are taking action to coordinate standards and to clear hurdles to cross-border trade. The common market for Eastern and Southern Africa, COMESA, for example, is working to harmonize seed regulations for 13 crops. It's also working to create a so-called green pass. The document would ensure that foods coming from areas that have been cleared of problems that could affect human health are able to travel from one country to another without being certified each time they cross the border. In another example, the Southern African Development Community, or SADC, has created a policy to make it easier to trade seeds.
If two members of SADC approve a seed for release, then it should be freely available in all SADC countries. That's a positive way in overcoming, on the one hand, that you need to have regulatory oversight to make sure that these seeds actually are effective and that the farmers will be getting seeds that are useful, but without getting too wound up in having every country having its own rules and regulations.
Besides regulations on inputs, other factors are also preventing broader cross-border trade. Among them are multiple roadblocks and checkpoints where bribes must be paid before proceeding. Often targeted are women, who make up the majority of cross-border traders. Many are subject to verbal and physical harassment, and even rape. COMESA is considering one solution to the problem, a charter of small traders that would urge governments to stop the harassment and extortion. One proposal under discussion would reduce the number of male officials and agency representatives at the border. Other customs reforms include the introduction in East Africa last year of a common software platform allowing officials to communicate across borders. Todd Amani, a senior deputy assistant administrator for Africa at the U.S. Agency for International Development, explains.
This reduced the time it takes to transport goods along the Mombasa-Kigali trade corridor by 5 days and reduced the cost of trading goods in the East Africa region by 2%. even despite the fact that the price of fuel rose nearly 20% in that same year.
High transportation costs also affect the efficient trade of goods between African countries. Contributing to the problem are cartels. They discourage competition in and modernization of the trucking industry. The bank says by liberalizing the sector, Rwanda was able to lower the cost of transport and boost agricultural production. Meanwhile, a U.S. government initiative is also working to improve cross-border trade. USAID's Todd Amani says his agency has helped introduce trade hubs in West, Southern, and Eastern Africa. He says reforms backed by the Southern Africa Hub have contributed to a 12-fold increase in the use of the Trans-Kalahari Corridor, a highway linking Namibia and Botswana with South Africa. In addition, he says travel time has been reduced from 72 to 48 hours. That's good news for businessmen and traders who now need less time to transport food from productive areas of the region to ones in need of food. Experts also say that movement of goods will become more important in the future as climate change brings drought to some areas, but improved growing conditions to others. I'm William Eagle in Washington.